Well, praise God and good evening, and welcome to Gatekeepers Ministry International Radio Broadcast. I'm your CEO and founder, Seer Evangelist Linda Cazares, and I'm also your host this evening of this broadcast. Our topic is image and the second commandment. What image do you project when someone first meets you? What image do you project to them? Or the second commandment that has established by God that we are not to worship, bow down, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. So we're going to explore this topic tonight, and I'm so excited. And I have my friend, my dear friend, Samuel Rubin, and he is going to open the broadcast this evening with a song. He's a psalmist. Normally he ministers, but tonight I've asked him to sing. So, Minister Psalmist Samuel Rubin, how are you
Hallelujah.
Doing?
Hallelujah. Good, blessed. Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We worship
it's
you, Lord.
Yours.
Always.
You give us whatever God has given to you. God bless you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's always an honor and a great privilege to share the love of God and to serve on this broadcast. It's always a blessing. Hallelujah. We just lift our hearts and hands to heaven and we worship you, Lord. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. Kadosh, kadosh. Kadosh, Adonai Elohim Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We lift up your holy name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua HaMashiach. Kadosh, kadosh. Kadosh. Let's just praise him. He inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Adonai Elohim Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Baruch Hashem El Adonai HaMashiach Ruach HaKodesh. Baruch Hashem El Adonai HaMashiach Ruach HaKodesh. May the Almighty bless you in Yeshua's holy name. For you are the same yesterday. You are the same, hallelujah, yesterday, today, and forevermore, Lord. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We thank you for the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, hallelujah, that comes upon us, Lord, hallelujah, in this hour, in this final hour. And I thank you, Lord, that there are prophets of fire being raised up in this final hour. Hallelujah, that you are anointing and appointing prophets of fire in this final hour, O Lord. You keep that with your word, even as Jesus prayed the prayer to the Father and said, I have not lost one that you have entrusted to me. Oh, hallelujah. And you have not lost one that has been entrusted to you, O Lord. Precious promises of God, and we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to offer, to usher us into a time of praise and worship, and just we want to tell you we love you and thank you for the word of God that will go forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I just felt like you were singing in Hebrew, were you?
Yes, hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Hallelujah. And we think of Isaiah, the six-winged creatures, the seraphim, the six-winged angels that cry, holy, 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 kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Well, I'm excited this evening. It's been some week this week. 2 days off, Tuesday and Wednesday, and I have enjoyed them immensely. I could feel it today when I had to get up this morning before 6 a.m. and get to school by 7 after sleeping in for 2 consecutive days. I realize I'm a year older and not a year younger. I might not look like what I've been through. I might not look my age, but my body is my age. And I was saying to myself earlier, I just have to train myself to get to bed about 2 hours earlier than I normally get to bed. I'm a night person, and I like to sleep in like on Saturday. So I just took advantage of those 2 days off. So I thank God for the psalmist this evening. We bless God tonight, opening up with his Hebrew words and his Hebrew songs. I give God all the praise, honor, and glory, and I thank him, and I bless his name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you. We humble ourselves before you, Father, and we thank you. We lift you up and we honor you. We magnify your holy, mighty name. We ask, God, that you would look upon my guest tonight and my brother in Christ that just sang in your word, in your language, Lord. Look upon them with your mercy and your grace. Cover them in the blood of your son, Jesus, Abba. I ask, God, that you would roll out the red carpet to them tonight, Lord God. And, Lord, bring out the holy anointing that you've placed in them. The word that you have given to us tonight. Thank you for our psalm this morning, this evening, this afternoon, whatever time zone you would be listening to this broadcast. We thank you. We ask that you would glean on every word that is released in the atmosphere tonight. Father God, I ask that you would beat back the forces of darkness on our behalf. I dispatch angels to line the airways and the frequencies, Lord, that they would hover over this broadcast, Lord, and see it through to fruition. I ask, Father, that you would bless our families, our spouses, Lord, those that mean the most to us, Lord. I ask, God, that if they're not saved, that you would pour out your grace and mercy, bestow that upon them, that they would be saved. Draw our children and our grandchildren into your kingdom, Holy Spirit. Draw them into closer to Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves tonight, everything that you've blessed us to have, Lord God. We ask, God, that you would move by your Spirit through this broadcast tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would bless those that would be listening at any time, tonight or at any time listening on demand. So, Father, we thank you. We give this broadcast to you. We remain humble in your sight, Lord Jesus. It's an honor and a privilege to come before you, Lord, for this platform that you've blessed this ministry to have, Lord, for so many years. We thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon it and that you continue to breathe upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalmist Samuel, are you there?
Yes, yes. Hello. Praise the Lord.
Your mic is still open. Would you like to sing one more song?
okay, praise the Lord. Yes, hallelujah. We always want to give God all of the glory, honor, and praise. And he is worthy to receive all of the glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you, Father, for this wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that will come forth from your children, Father, from your servants, from those that are your kings and priests, your ambassadors, those that speak on your behalf. And all glory, all honor, and all power unto you, O Lord. We lift our eyes and keep our eyes on you. And all glory, all honor, and all power unto you, O Lord. We glorify and magnify your holy name, O Lord. You are an ever-present help in time of need, O Lord. And you are making a way where there is no way for your own. Hallelujah. And we have a blood covenant of mercies with you that shall never be removed. And we give you the praise. You inhabit the praises of your people. We love on you, Lord. We worship you. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice unto you, Father God. We surrender and yield to you. And we thank you for teaching us. Teach us, Jesus. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Minister Samuel. Love you, man. God bless you.
I love you. God bless you. Thank you.
Prophet Benjamin, I give God all the praise, honor, and glory for you tonight. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. I have a little cold, but I'm good.
Okay. You want us to pray for you first?
I mean, I'm good, but you can pray for me. I don't mind. I don't
feel okay? Good. Father, I thank you for my friend, your prophet, your man of God, hallelujah, that speaks what you tell him to say, Lord God, and ministers to many, many people in the earth. Father, I ask that you would touch his body right now. I come against that infirmity right now. I command it to leave his body in the name of Jesus. I bind this weapon formed against him. It will not prosper. I loose the power of the Holy Ghost upon him right now.
Yes.
Lord,
thank you, God.
It would make him feel better. I bind any attack of fever, ache, or pain, any symptoms of the flu we come against right now in the name of Jesus. We command them to leave his body and be removed. And the power of the Holy Ghost fill those places in the name of Jesus. Lord, lift him up in his spirit as well as his body. Touch him right now and camp your holy angels around him, God, and use him for your glory this evening. Strengthen him as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, sir. It's all yours.
Thank you so much. Amen. We give God the praise and we thank God. Amen. For those that are viewing, or rather those that are listening, amen, from various cities and states and countries and towns. Amen. We thank God for our seer, evangelist Linda Cazares, who has always certainly been a blessing in my life and who always gives me the opportunity to be able to share with the things that she is doing. And I certainly give God praise and thank God for her for that. And we give God the praise for our subject on tonight, our topic, dealing with image and how the scripture talks about not putting anything, any graven images before God. And so I want to give you a few points, and then I want to go to scripture, and then I want to use a personal example as well. Firstly, never put nothing or nobody before God. That's my first point. Never put nothing or nobody before God. The second thing I want to say is what you put before God has an expiration date, but God is everlasting. The third thing is God should be first in your life, our life. It says whatever you put before God excuse me, whatever you put before God will become your God. And then I want to go to scripture because it's a very familiar passage of scripture that we find in the book of Daniel, excuse me, chapter 3. And it says, it's chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 10. It says, "Thou, O king, has made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of burning fiery furnace. There were certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to him, said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that they were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the fiery furnace, the burning fiery furnace, excuse me. And then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding high, and the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Excuse me, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Do not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see a fourth man loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. And the prince, the governors, and the captains, and the king, counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair they had sinned, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire would pass on them. Then it says, Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed their king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Somebody know the dance right there. Shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made in dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And the Lord took me to this because this is a prime example how, glory to God, at one point you had a people that was serving a graven image. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they trusted in the God that we serve even today, that they said, we're not bowing, we're not giving in to, we're not going to submit to a graven image, but we're going to serve the God who made the heavens, the God that made the earth, that God that created even you, O King. Glory to God, Nebuchadnezzar. Glory be to God. And so this is a powerful scripture or even a parable dealing with even the topic that the woman of God has issued on tonight, because it lets us know, glory to God, that when you stand, whatever you stand for, glory to God, that's what you're going to stand for. And these men, glory to God, were determined in their mind that they're not going to serve anything except for God. And that's why I said a few minutes ago, you cannot put anything before God. I don't care if it's your husband, you can't put your wife, glory to God, your children, glory to God. God comes first. Glory to God. He should be our first love. Amen. Glory be to God. And so God, glory to God, even through this particular parable, glory to God, because you have a lot of people, you know, they put different people, you know, they make them like gods. Amen. They put up different preachers as gods. But that man, that woman, glory to God, you know, and you are to honor them, glory to God, but you should never put no man or woman of God, no mother, no father, no brother, no sister. You don't, you can't put them up like they're a graven image. Amen. Glory to God. They're a person just like you, because if I cut, I'm going to bleed. If they cut, they're going to bleed too. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we have to keep in mind that God comes first. And this is what the three Hebrew boys did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood their ground. They didn't allow a graven image to change their concept of who God was. Glory to God. You have some people that allow certain situations or people or things to change their concept. Glory to God. They allow money. They allow a position. They allow this. They allow that to change their position or their conception of who God is. But God, glory to God, is our creator. Glory to God. And we are his creation. Glory to God, which makes us created. Glory be to God. So everything that we see on this earth, glory to God, although you might see man building certain things, it was God, glory to God, that gave wisdom for man to be able to build buildings. Glory to God. A building could be an image. Glory be to God. But you don't serve that image. You serve the one who allowed the image to be made. Glory to God. We have to serve God. Glory be to God. We have to serve him and keep him first. Glory to God. But they stood their ground, and as a result of them standing their ground, they, King Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fiery furnace. He threw them in the fiery furnace, and they were willing to say, well, if God don't deliver us, I know he going to deliver us. They stood on the word. They stood on the God that they served, because they had that type of relationship. And when you have a relationship with God, you stand your ground. Glory to God. You don't let nothing move you. Glory to God. And so this is what these men of God did. They didn't let nothing move them, regardless even if they turned the fire seven times. Glory be to God. But they still, what they said, well, we're going to burn, we're going to burn. Glory to God. But we know that God's going to deliver us. And God did deliver them. Glory be to God. Because the scripture says, glory to God, Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we throw three men in there? But the fourth one looked like the son of man? Glory to God. How did he know that was the son of man? Glory to God. God was dealing with him even then, even probably before he threw them in there. God was dealing with him. Glory to God. And that's why he saw, glory to God, the son of man in there. Glory be to God, because God has a way of turning things around, glory to God, to favor his children. And that's what he did for the three Hebrew boys, glory be to God. And then what happened was, it made, glory to God, by them taking a stand, it turned even King Nebuchadnezzar around, where now he's serving the God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego served. Glory to God. They eventually got rid of that graven image or that golden image or whatever the case may be and said, we're going to serve the God that they're serving. Glory be to God. So you got to take a stand. And even in the time in which we're living right now, you got to take a stand. Glory to God. You got to take a stand. Glory to God. Because you don't know, glory to God, even though you might be going through situations, even though you might be going through circumstances, even you might be facing whatever you're going through, you got to realize there's some people, glory to God, that don't know certain things that you've gone through. They don't know what you're dealing with right now. Glory to God. The only thing that they know is that they see you coming and going. Glory to God. They see you going to church or the house of worship. They see you coming back. They may see you preaching. They may see you teaching. They may see you prophesying. They may see you praying for people. Glory to God. But they don't realize, glory to God, what you've been through. But you are a strength to them. And because you're taking a stand and you're not giving up on who you serve, glory to God, it is like a testimony. You're like a living epistle that is drawing them into, glory to God. They're curious. What who the God that you serve? I want to serve that God that you serve. Glory to God. You said that he's a healer. And I remember, glory to God, and I guess people can even look at me 2 years ago when it was a hit and run. Glory to God, and I had two surgeries. Glory to God. But the way that I'm walking right now, you would never know that I got hit by a car. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because I knew the God that I served, that he's a healer. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I had a brace on my leg. I had a cane. I had crutches. Glory be to God. I had this big fixation in my leg when I first had the surgery, because they had to make sure that the bones were lined up to be in order and stuff like that. And I have plates and screws in my legs to this day. Glory to God. But I get around like I don't have nothing in my legs. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Because that's the type of God that I serve. Glory to God. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. Glory to God. And when you make up in your mind that you're going to serve God, glory to God, and let nothing stop you, even though I got this cold, I don't let the cold stop me. Glory to God. Sometimes we can use sicknesses. I hear you, God. Sometimes we eat our own shot. We eat our own stay. Glory to God. Sometimes we can use situations as a God to prevent us from doing what we know to do. Sometimes we can use this as a God, glory to God, to prevent us from doing what we need to do. Glory to God. I don't let this cold stop me. And I got two more conference calls later on tonight, and I'm going to still do them. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Because I'm not going to let nothing stop me from doing the will of God. I'm going to serve God until the day he calls me home. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And that's the way that you have to be. You got to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Glory to God. You got to get to a point. Glory to God. Glory to God. If he don't deliver, I know he's going to deliver. Glory to God. Because God is a deliverer. Glory to God. And he is a man that he should not repent. He's the son of man. He's the son of man. He don't lie. He don't lie and he don't fail. Glory be to God. So you got to take a stand. Glory to God. And I thank God for this particular parable. Glory to God. God took me to it. Glory to God, because that's talking about the topic that the woman of God has released, glory to God, for this particular night. Glory to God. There's a situation that happened years ago at my first church that I was at. It was a Baptist church, and I remember my mother going on to be with the Lord, glory to God. But I remember we used to go to this Baptist church, me, her, and my brother, glory to God. And I remember her saying something, and she said, Don't put the pastor before God. He's just a man. Glory to God. And that stuck with me. Glory to God. Because if that man falls, are you going to fall with him? Glory to God. Because sometimes we can put people, and I said this earlier, sometimes we can put people on a pedestal. Glory to God. And it's nothing wrong with honoring people. It's nothing wrong with respecting people. But never put a person, glory to God, like a graven image, glory to God. Because there are some people today, they worship a man. They worship a woman, glory to God. They worship money. They worship their job. They worship their car. They worship, glory to God, their title. Glory to God. But never get to a point where you put something before God as a graven image, glory to God, because what you do is you block yourself, glory to God, from really knowing the true and living God. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to serve him. He doesn't want us to serve the things he blessed us with, but he wants us to serve him, glory to God, because he is the true and living God. So I want those of you that are listening, I pray that you were blessed, glory to God, by this what God gave me. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But God wants you, glory to God. He wants us to keep him first. And when we keep God first, we'll begin to see, glory to God, great manifestations in our life. You're going to know that it was God that did this. You're going to know that it was God that did that. Glory be to God. God wants you to be encouraged on today. Glory to God. And make sure you keep God first. Be blessed.
Well, amen. And when you were talking about this story, you know, this is one of the most powerful stories in the Bible that happened in real life. And when the heathen king said, and the fourth one looks like the Son of Man, my thing was just what you said. How did he know? You know, it's something how, and I think about this so often, it's something how this heathen king that God had revealed himself to the king in the fire, just like God had revealed himself to the thief on the cross next to Jesus.
Yes, he did.
If God doesn't reveal himself, you're always going to be lost.
That's right.
Today the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us.
That's right.
But I these things often come to me because I've had so many experiences where I've met people of God for the first time, and they could see the anointing on my life immediately. They could see my spirit. And then I could be in fellowship with leaders in the same church, and they don't see nothing. And they open themselves up to gossip about you. And it's something because God is revealing himself in Israel to Muslims and Arabs that live there that are hiding because they don't want to be killed. If God doesn't reveal himself to you, you will forever be lost. Because
right.
The Bible says you cannot come to him unless he draw you.
That's it.
So my prayer is that God draw the sinner to Christ, that God draw the unsaved children, the unsaved spouses, the unsaved family members to Christ. But that was a powerful word. I really appreciate it. I'm always blessed by your ministry, Prophet Benjamin. I know you have other live broadcasts to do tonight. I really do appreciate you, and I thank you, man. God bless you, and I
bless you.
Sounds like you feel better.
Amen.
How about that? Sounds like you feel better. Okay,
yes,
God
do.
Bless you. Have a rich night in Christ tonight.
Love you. God bless.
Love you, too. I just want to release this in the atmosphere before I bring on Minister Chadwick.
Thank you.
Well, praise God. If you didn't know what that was the sound of the shofar. You know that story about Abraham when he took his son, when God told him to take his son up the mountain to sacrifice his son, Isaac? And then the angel, when Abraham was ready to bring the knife down on his son for sacrifice, the angel told him not to do it. And then God had a ram in the bush. And the shofar is actually a ram's horn. I have two of them. I haven't learned how to blow through them yet to bring any sound out. I was trying the other day on Yom Kippur, but I just didn't have enough air to push through there, to push the sound out, but I'm going to get it one day. So we just praise God. We wanted to infiltrate the frequencies and the atmosphere with the shofar in the center of this broadcast. So I give God praise. Minister Chadwick, your mic is open. I'm honored again, and I count it a privilege always to have you on the broadcast. So just minister to us whatever God has given to you for us tonight. God bless you.
Thank you, Linda. It's a pleasure to be back with you, and I really appreciate the inspiration the first speaker put out there for us. Actually, some Jewish history for you. Actually, when Abraham and Isaac, when he did that scene with the shofar, that actually occurred on the Feast of Trumpets. So Tishri 1 is when that occurred. So there you go. That's the Feast of Trumpets and the shofar blew. So I don't know if you know that, but that's some pretty interesting things since we are in the culmination of the fall feast days. I hope everybody's having a great Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. And one day he will dwell with us again during the millennial kingdom, which will occur on the Feast of Tabernacles is when he will set that up after trumpets and Yom Kippur, the second coming events. But anyhow, back to the topic at hand today. I think it's a great topic with the second commandment and also the image. And first we'll read the commandment. We always like to go to the book, to the Torah, and to read the commandment. And really let this sink in. It's a commandment that I've read recently, and really all the Ten Commandments and read recently were just to shed some light on it. I believe it's something that when we read it, it could really expose some of the things that we have in our lives. You know, I know it did for me with different images and things, and we have to be very careful with what we put in our homes, on our neck, on our wrist, in our car, whatever it may be, in our churches. Actually, so it's very important to realize this is the second commandment, and we'll read the first because it goes into the second. You shall have no other gods before me. You know, that's a very powerful statement. It's simple, but it's very profound. It's paramount with a lot of things that we're going to speak about tonight. And then the second commandment, which is tonight's topic with the images, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness, anything at all, of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, wow, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Wow. Just like Jesus said, if we love him, we keep his commandments. Obviously, his commandments, he wrote this. The bet that Yeshua, Jesus, he wrote this on the two tablets with his finger. He did this, that no carved image whatsoever. Really think about that and really evaluate the images that we have in our homes, in our cars, in our churches. Is it something that the second commandment is telling us not to have? And I think we'd be very surprised at what the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, would lead us in that. Also, when it goes into the, he's a jealous God, and then it gets upon the blessings and the curses of the generational lineages of all of us. And we have to be very clear about this, is there are generational curses, there are generational blessings. And you can read that in Daniel 9, also in Nehemiah 1, 5 through 7. They cleanse their generational lineage of their fathers because of the sins of the idolatry, of the spiritual adultery, if you will, of the wood, stone, and the altars of Moloch, etc. So it's very important for us to always go back to Torah, always go back to the original revelation, which is the Torah. No, it's not dead. It was resurrected with the Messiah. Okay, it's alive and well. He will send that out from Jerusalem during his millennial kingdom, just like I believe Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 state. So you can check that for yourselves. And now we get into today's world. Okay, what are we dealing with when it's talking about the second commandment? This is a very broad subject that we can explore, but we're going to identify it in a couple of ways. And first of all, and the most important, all of them are important, but the first one we'll get to is the spiritual idolatry. When we look into the Bible, just like with the second commandment, it's speaking of spiritual idolatry. It's speaking of false religions. It's speaking of also carved images, heathen practices, apostasy, etc. Absolutely. But when you get into the biblical prophets, they're going to carry you back to Torah. They're going to carry you back. They're basically commentaries on Torah, and then they're going to prophesy about the end of the age and also what was going on at their time with the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, but also to the future of the end of the age prophets. Okay, so it's very important when we read Jeremiah 10, they're pointing us back, and all throughout the book of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, pointing us back to the commandment of idolatry. It's telling us not to have spiritual idolatry, whether it's gold, silver, wood, stone, whatever it may be back in their days. And obviously we can look at some of the idolatry we have of today, whether it's musicians, whether it's athletes, whether it's sports, political figures, religious figures, and also money, and the list goes on and on. It's really anything that you put before the Lord God. That's really pretty much it. And I tell people all the time, you know, hey, if you're going to see some band 50 times and you're going to church one time, then there's a problem. You've got an idol, you know, or an athlete or a football team or whatever it may be. If we look at it in that context, anything that you're spending more time on than the Lord God, then that could be your idol. Of course, we have an occupation. Of course, we have to work. We have to look at it in context. But I think if people really look at it in the most conservative way of saying, is this what I enjoy, whether it's music or whatever, or an artist or a football team or sports or whoever it may be, am I watching them or paying more attention than God? Then I would consider that as an idol in all of our lives. And certainly I've had to look at that myself in the past. Also, when you turn to Ezekiel 23, speaking of spiritual idolatry, okay, with the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, the two harlot sisters, as Ezekiel calls them, is speaking of spiritual adultery with the Lord God about the second commandment. They've turned away with all the works of their hands, with all the altars of Moloch, with the gold, the silver, the wood, the stone, and also sacrificing their children upon the altar of Moloch, which I think we can look at America today and really the world. We're doing the same thing. We have that altar here in America, and America will eventually pay a dear price for that here in the future. We will not get away with that, just that one item. And there's so much more, but we'll stick to the spiritual adultery with idolatry with that. Okay, so when we look at this, it's over and over in the Torah, in the prophets, Deuteronomy. You look at any passage, and every prophet of God is warning his people about the second commandment, okay, about the spiritual adultery, about the turning away from the Lord God, turning away from the first love of the Lord. And I will piggyback on the Daniel 3 story because it came to me as well. Everybody knows the image of gold. I won't read it. The first speaker read it very well, but I'll elaborate on it. Is we have to put ourselves in their shoes, okay? They're Jewish people or Hebrews. They came as an exile to Babylon. Think about Babylon. Think about America today, or think about Tel Aviv actually today, or think about Rome. Think about all of these pagan societies that we're living in today, which we are. That's what they were living in, but maybe the greatest. They lived in the Babylonian Empire where they would get their heads cut off in 1 second if they did not bow down. And these three believers in the God of Israel had convictions. They had their convictions. They weren't caught up into the Babylonian system. And that's what we've got to try to emulate them and not get caught in the American culture or the European culture or whatever culture it is, the Asian culture that are not believers, whatever it is. We've got to make sure that we're not caught up into the Babylonian society, if you will, so that whenever the time comes to bow, which it will, okay, you look at what's going on in the Middle East and North Africa, you don't think Christians are being told to bow to Islam or get off or get killed? Then absolutely they are. Look around. Look at North Africa. Look at Africa itself. Look at the Middle East, Iraq, Syria, Turkey. You know, look at these places. It's a war zone over there. So we have to understand that that day is coming to all of us, and we have to have the convictions that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did so that we don't bow in the face of the biggest empire ever. And we'll call it the Babylonian system across the world because really that's where it comes from in the scriptures. It's just the Babylonian system. So we have to understand that. And a good tie into this is just like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Lord delivered them from the fire. Well, the Lord will not deliver those idolaters from the fire at the end of the age. When you read Revelation, idolaters, liars, fornicators, all of these things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. So there's a nice tie-in, if you will, to where just like they were delivered, we will be delivered, but the adulterers, the fornicators, the idolaters, the second commandment breakers, they will be thrown into the lake of fire. So it's a very nice tie-in with that. And they had the convictions that we have. And like I tell people, we're getting to a time, I don't know if people keep up with the end of the age and the biblical prophets, but we're getting to a time where I believe you're starting to see the separation. You're starting to see there's no more going to be no more grays in the area. There's going to be wheats or tares. God is really separating. He's really going through it right now. He's getting believers in his fold. He's calling out his remnant right now for the time that we're about to enter right now. And I believe there's plenty of markers to show that this next decade is going to be absolutely tremendous. It's a great time to be alive. And we've got to have the convictions, all the believers in America, to stand up against the Babylonian system. We've got to stand up in Israel, the Babylonian system, the Middle East, Asia, you name it, China, whatever you want to call it, because it's widespread. It's a Babylonian system, if you will, evil system that they do not want Christianity. They do not want believers. You know, the believers are being persecuted at an enormous rate, at the highest of all time right now, if you look at it. And then here comes the persecution of the Jewish people as well. That will come from the Jeremiah 16 prophecy. So we've got to understand, where do we sit? Are we going to bow down to the world, the Babylonian system, or we're going to hold fast, stand firm, have the convictions? And we get a really good understanding of this if you believe we're living at the end of the age. In Revelation 13, it states this, and I'll read a few sentences. So they worshiped the dragon, the Babylonian system, if you want to call it that, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? I mean, this is going to be the great deception, okay, of all time. And he was given a mouth, speaking great blasphemies and things, and he was given authority to continue 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Carries us back to Daniel 3, the Babylonian image, if you will, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So we have to understand that this is a tie-in of today as well. Who are you going to bow down, or are you going to serve the God of Israel, which is Jesus, Yeshua? What's it going to be? Because you can't serve both. You can't have one foot in the world, one foot in the Lord. It doesn't work like that. The holy and the profane. So it's one of those things that we have to have the convictions in us, the purification, the cleansing, and the conviction that he'll give all of us to stand fast and not to bow down to any worldly system, Babylonian system. And it will not be as clear as you think. I think some of these things are going to be very, what does the devil come to us? He comes to us as a shining light. Okay, it's going to be a deception going on, and you won't even realize it, I think, sometimes, and then you're caught up into idolatry. You're caught up into going the wrong route of the Lord. So it's important that we really hinge ourselves upon the second commandment and to understand anything that is a carved image, anything that is against the Lord God of Israel, anything that wants to take the place of our Lord, anything that we spend more time doing, we need to really evaluate it and look at it to see if it meets the second commandment or not. Okay, so now let's go to, and also I'd like to mention as well, Daniel 3, but also Daniel 6. Daniel 6, we have, again, Daniel, one of the greatest prophets there is. He was righteous. He was the second in command in Babylon behind Nebuchadnezzar. This is after the statue dream that he they wanted to entrap him in the way he worshiped. The people were jealous. He prayed three times a day, and then they got the king Nebuchadnezzar to send out a decree that says, hey, within 30 days, so for 30 days, you can't worship any god. Well, Daniel wasn't going to buy that. He was going to worship his God three times a day. He was going to go to the upper room, and he was going to kneel down, face Jerusalem, and he was going to pray. And that's what he did, and we know what happened. He got thrown into the lion's den, and, of course, God delivered him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being thrown in the lion's den? Can you imagine putting your head down while someone's chopping it off? Look at the Middle East. Look at North Africa. Look at what's coming to a city near all of us, I think, eventually, is Islam. Okay, it's the same thing. Lion's den, martyrdom. That's what it is. So just like with Daniel, Daniel had no fear. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego had no fear. If death comes, death comes. We'll be in heaven with the Lord. You know, it's as simple as that. If it's our time, it's our time. But God delivered all of them because of their convictions, because of their loyalty, because they obeyed the second commandment. They put the Lord God of Israel first and foremost, and they weren't going to be denied worshiping him, praying to him three times a day, and they weren't going to bow down to any image, which is the topic tonight. Okay, so now let's look at self-idolatry. I believe this is one of the worst adulteries there is, because it's so unrecognizable. You know, people have a hard time to evaluate themselves. You know, who does like to evaluate themselves, right? So people have a hard time to evaluate themselves and be honest with them to see if they are putting themselves above the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, even in ministry, even religious leaders, political leaders, athletes, you know, everybody says, everybody can give lip service, but what is the condition of the heart? That's what God looks at. And I think if we look at it from that perspective of evaluating ourselves, and we'll get into some of the things we can do that with, I think it's very clear with the self-idolatry of people, the bragging, the vanity and things like that with someone, the self-ambition. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with doing a good job and wanting to make a good living for your family. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but there is a fine line. There is a thin line that if you're doing that more than worshiping the Lord, again, we get into your works, your idol instead of the Lord, you know, or your talent, okay, musician or whatever it may be. So it's one of those things we really have to evaluate it. I know I've had to do that myself 5 years ago. You know, work was my idol. Partying was my idol. My kingdom was my idol and everything else, you know, the vanity of the world. So I can speak firsthand of how easy it is to get sucked in to your own idol. You're building your own kingdom instead of doing the kingdom work for the Lord. So I can identify with that as well. But I think self-idolatry, when we take a step back and evaluate ourselves, man, do I put myself before the Lord? Is it about me? Is it about the Lord? Those are very honest conversations we all need to evaluate ourselves with. You know, and I know, like I said, I've been there before. I've judged myself and I came up as a failure, okay, because I looked at my life and I was like, goodness, if you died tonight, then you have no fruit, none, zero. You have worldly possessions which will surely rot and rust away, like Messiah stated. You know, so we have to understand that Yeshua, Jesus, he spoke about money probably the third most, you know, besides the kingdom of heaven and some others. It's one of the top ones he spoke about in the Gospels, and it was all warning. It was all warning. It was nothing good about it, hardly. You know, it was all warning, like, okay, it's okay to make a good living, but be very careful. Everybody knows the camel and the eye of the needle. Everybody knows that. It's literal. It's not a parable. He's being honest with you. He's telling you straight up that if you put your riches before the kingdom, you will not inherit that. So we have to understand to use our riches, our talents, whatever gifts that we have for the glory of God, because just like Linda always says at the end of her broadcast, and I love it, is that's the only thing that lasts, is the works of the kingdom of God, the economy of God. That's the only thing that lasts. And we can read this in 1 Corinthians 10:7 about self-idolatry. Do not be idol worshipers. As some of them is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. You know, it's just that indulgence, you know, the indulgence of self-gratification, exaltation, things like that. It's about me. It's about me. It's about me. You can recognize them. You know, some of these people, they write books that it's about you. It's not about you. It's about God. Yes, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, not I can do all things through me who strengthens me. The scripture doesn't say that in Philippians. It's I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. And we have to always, when God blesses you with a talent or with money or with anything, give him the glory, give him the exaltation, and he will lift you up in due time, just like the scripture says. In Revelation 9:20, it says this, the rest of mankind, this is talking about the tribulation time, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands, self-idolatry. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Again, it's the work of our hands, the luxuries of the world. Read Revelation 17 and 18, excuse me, about the mystery Babylon, the harlot. You know, read that. That's spiritual adultery. You know, it's a spirit. It's a symbolism for spiritual adultery, fornication, and adultery, and self-idolatry, and things like that. This is a very serious subject, and it goes back into the second commandment, the image, and things like that. It goes back to how you're portraying your image on social media. You know, I get a laugh that some people call Facebook fake book, because you know, you can portray whatever image you want to behind pictures, but in real life, how does that look, you know, with all of us? So there's nothing wrong with social media whatsoever, and there's nothing wrong with selfies. But it kind of brings out, when you look at things, the self-idolatry on certain people that I'm sure we all know, with the selfies that are in the morning, evening, and everything, what I eat, what I drink, how I put on makeup and everything like that, it gets to the point of goodness. I mean, what is enough of the selfies and the vanity and the self-idolatry and things like that? Please take me in context. I'm not trying to be way out there, but again, social media has created this self-idolatry. There's nothing wrong with social media, but we've got to be careful that we don't get sucked into, it's all about me. And that's what one of the bad things about social media is. It's a great thing because you can spread the gospel to all four corners of the world more than ever with the radio that Linda does, social media, and all Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, you name it. But when it's used for self-idolatry, then it becomes, you know, a bad thing. In Colossians 3:5, it says, put death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. It goes back to the second commandment, which is the idolatry. You know, and all of these things are basically self-idolatry, the impurities and the lust and the evil desires, you know, and things like that. In Psalms 135:15-18, it says, the idols of the nations. We are called out of the nations. If you're a Gentile, listen to this. You're no longer a Gentile when you accept Messiah. Read Ephesians 2:11-13, Romans 11. You are grafted in to the commonwealth of the Israel of God, you know, so to speak. So we are part of Israel, you know, the Israel of God. You're no longer a Gentile. So it's telling you the idols of the nations, of the Gentiles, earthly nations, are silver and gold made by hands, human hands. There again, goes on to work of our hands. Self-idolatry. People don't realize how important this is to understand this, that when you look at, I live in America, but when you look at America, it's all about being the best. And there's nothing wrong, again, we got to be in context. There's nothing wrong with doing a great job, but when it becomes on steroids, when we look at ourselves as an idol or other people look at us as an idol, then there is a problem, underlying problem. It continues in verse 16, they have mouths, but they cannot speak, eyes, but cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, nor is their breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. Now, obviously, it's speaking about wood, stone, gold, and silver, but I'm speaking of also people within themselves with self-idolatry, with boosting themselves up to where they're almost calling themselves a god, so to speak. And you have seen that, you know, or in the circles of Hollywood and people and places like that, actually throughout, you know, all of my adult life. So it's very important to realize that. The next one is vanity. Vanity is vanity. Vanity, the Lord, not the Lord, but the devil uses vanity as one of those cover-ups, as one of those masks, okay? I think it masks a lot of bondage as well. He'll use drugs, alcohol, vanity, whatever it may be, to keep you off track in your bondage, so to speak. And people cover it up to try to mask it over. But vanity is another thing that goes along with the self-idolatry, because it's part of status, you know, occupational status. It's part of keeping up with the Joneses. I live in a country club, whatever it is, and there's nothing wrong living in a country club. I'll make that plain and simple. But it is your primary goal to be the richest man on earth, or to be living in this whatever house, or to be in this country club or whatever, then maybe there is a problem underneath it. And again, there's nothing wrong with making a good living. And then you've got, so that's the status of self-idolatry, which includes the vanity, possessions, we know, the cars, the toys, you know, the boats, the money, house, just things. You know, when we put, just like we've read through the scriptures, when we put these things as what we count on, you know, how many times do we say, oh, goodness, I just need to go on a vacation. Oh, really? Or do you need the Lord? Which one is it? So, again, there's nothing wrong with going on a vacation. Hey, listen, I know I need a vacation. We all need vacations. But when you put your trust in that as your peace, ultimate peace, and when you really you're doing vacations more than serving the Lord, then, again, there is a problem with the second commandment. So it's important to recognize that and to cleanse it and ask for forgiveness. And then we've already talked about the social media vanity. And it really, I love social media because you can spread the gospel on it. And it's just amazing that the news that is coming everywhere that you wouldn't get, like especially in the Middle East and things like that, it's just easy to keep up. It's connected the world to a smaller place, you know, but just the explosion of vanity and the explosion of self-idolatry, the explosion of it's about me has created this this self-idolatry and the breaking of the second commandment in my mind like you've never seen, so to speak. I'd like to read Ecclesiastes. Now, this is King Solomon. This is David's son, and he probably sums it up best. This is kind of depressing for some people to read, but we're going to read it anyhow. Ecclesiastes 1 is called The Vanity of Life. This is the words of the preacher, excuse me, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all of his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, it also goes down and hastens to the place where it rose. The wind goes towards the south and it turns towards the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full to the place from which the rivers come. They return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things. Now, there will be a remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. So what he is telling us is this vicious cycle of things. You know, it is what it is, as the common phrase says. You know, and if we have the right context and the right proper understanding of what he's trying to tell us, he's basically telling us the second commandment. Do not put things above the Lord your God. Yes, we have to work. Yes, it's okay to play music. Yes, it's okay to play sports. Yes, it's okay, all of these things, but just do not put them before the Lord God. So we do not break the second commandment, and they come the image that breaks the second commandment, if you will. So it's important. Also in Psalms 127, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You know, it kind of reminds me of the parable of what, or the saying of what Messiah said about build your house on a rock and not sand. So when the flood waters come, your house on the rock will stand, which is him. And the ones on sand, the idols, the workers of the hands, the self-idolatry, the images, gold, silver, bronze, all that, wood, stone, it will wash away when the storms come. And as we all know, they all come. And even in my personal life, I can identify with that. Like I told you 5 years ago, the storms came and it washed me away. Okay. And then I put my faith and my trust in the Lord, and now my house is built on a rock, you know, and that's not saying it's been easy, and I've made right decisions or whatever all the time, but it wasn't like it was before 5 years ago when I was born again, and I knew what I needed to do to put my house on a rock, and I pray you also do that if you haven't already. Proverbs 31:30, it says, and this goes back into the vanity and how people can trick you and stuff, and it's something that we all look for in a partner. It's something we haven't hit on, whether it's a male, whether it's a female, husband or wife. This is what we need to look for. And it speaks of a woman, but we can say that the same as a man. In Proverbs 31:30, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord she shall be praised. And we can think of that as a husband too. We should be equally yoked with our significant other. You know, one shouldn't be in the world and the other one with the Lord. It will never work. You'll never see that happen. You know, so this is something, again, it goes into the vanities of the charmer. You know, go back to Revelation 17:18, the harlot, if you will, and it's male or female I'm talking about. I'm not just picking on women. I'm talking about male and female. You know, the charmers, the soothsayers, the witty, you know, the talkers, so to speak, the silver foxes, if you want to call them males, whatever it may be, we've got to be very careful because you don't want to be equally yoked and then with self-idolatry and you're living in the Lord. It's kind of like mixing oil and water, so to speak. It just does not mix very well. So we have to be careful of that. Isaiah 49:4 says, then I said, I have labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. So he's saying, again, kind of like what King Solomon said, that you want your economy, you want your rewards in heaven, which there is no moth, there is no rust. You want your economy in heaven to be full of rewards when you get there. And if that's to suffer a little bit down here or not be caught up in the world, so to speak, and not have the pleasures of this world, there's a better world coming. There's a new earth, a new creation, Revelation 21 and 22. That you will inherit that, and that is eternal, and that is made without hands, so to speak, as we're told in the scriptures. And then we have 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Again, just like Linda always says, only thing that lasts is for the kingdom of God. She says it more eloquently than I do. But it's the same thing. You will only be remembered what you do for the Lord with your crowns or not. It's a choice that we all have to make. And it's a commandment that we all have to keep in mind, just like the other nine. You know, that we need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we shall not have any gods before him, period. And that includes the work of our hands, gold, silver, athletes, musicians, whatever, movie stars, religious figures, political figures. You know, anything. I mean, I look at some of the political arena today, you know, across the world, and I'm just amazed, you know, at how people are putting their trust in them instead of the Lord. You know, yes, the Lord does raise up who he raises, and we, for his purposes, and we all have to pray accordingly, but it's very dangerous what I see out there as far as almost an idolatry towards some of our political leaders of the world. All over the world, if you really look at it, so to speak. So, and the religious leaders as well, you know, is very dangerous in my opinion. So, again, we've discussed a couple things, and this is such a broad topic of spiritual idolatry, self-idolatry, vanity. They all work together, you know, in one thing. It's called idolatry. It's called breaking of the second commandment. And I just challenge all of us, and this is me included, to take a step back and to evaluate the second commandment and ask ourselves, ask the Lord to reveal to us if we do have any idols that we're not even aware of, because it's not about what we think, it's about what he thinks. You know, if he thinks there's a carved image that we might think is okay, but he thinks is wrong, then it's wrong. You know, I don't think he asked any of our opinions when he wrote it on the tablets what our opinions were. So we have to always check ourselves with the Holy Bible, with all of the things that the Torah says, also the biblical prophets, what Messiah said, what Paul says, all of the New Testament writers. We always have to check it to make sure that we are in line and we do not have idolatry in our lives, because we all know those will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I hope this has been helpful to everybody, and I just pray that we all cleanse and we're purified and we go about the Lord's business and receive our rewards in the kingdom of heaven.
Well, praise God. I don't know about you, but I know that I got what I wanted out of these messages tonight, because I wanted someone to talk about our image, and you did just that, Minister Chadwick. That was excellent. I was so blessed to hear you talk about both the Second Commandment and the images of today, in our lives today, in the church today, and people today. You know, in the last 10 years of my life, I've learned so much about image, and that I'm going to say this, and it's sad to say, but I have discovered, seen, observed that people are more interested in their own image, exalting themselves. It's the I, me ministry. And the Bible says to esteem others more highly than yourself. And I've seen just the opposite in the church in the last 10 years, that I felt like that applied to image, you know, another way to bring out that topic tonight. And you're exactly right. You know, I've never seen so much insecurity in leadership, that they live off the influence of others and the pats on the backs of people. And I don't know if you've heard of the man Sam Chan. I get his emails, and he's excellent in church leadership. And I got an email today, and it talked about how leaders can really destroy, you know, a church, because the people around them are really, you know, encourage them, lift them up, and not lift them up like a god, but really surround them with letting them know they're doing a great job. And they take all that in, and it puffs them up to an image of pride. And then they become arrogant. And then he brought out the point that it's evident that after that, you're going to begin to demean others and belittle them, because you begin to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And that, to me, is part of image today, you know. And my pastor is an image of Christ to me. And I've been all over the world. I've met pastors of all nationalities, Russia, China, Jamaica, Israel. I've shaken hands with so many different men and women in leadership around the world. And I came up under two pastors that were so humble that I learned how to walk in humility, and that was so full of integrity that I learned all about integrity. These aren't things that you normally just think of from day to day, especially if you're not saved. But I just, and I didn't even really learn those two words and what they meant. I just observed them. And I just praise God that those two images were assigned to me. And they were, they set the bar high, and they were images of Christ. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be images of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I just thank God for my guest tonight. I thank you so much, Minister Chadwick. I just glean on every word that you say when you're ministering. God bless you. I'm going to think about a time where we could have the ministry that we were supposed to have a couple weeks ago on the prosperity gospel. That is actually my spiritual son's topic. He did it on his live broadcast, and I read the article and the literature on it, and I wanted it on our broadcast. But that night, everything about Blog Talk had technical difficulty, but we're going to do that again coming up maybe late in the month or early November when Patrick's available, so I'll let you know. But I just thank God tonight. It's really important how we present ourselves, not fake, you know, so that we can get the applause of men and women. We don't have to be charismatic to be used by God. You know, I think the teaching or the ministry that everyone does on this broadcast over the years has been just who they are, just unique, bringing out a word in them, because he told me to open up the broadcast to those that he has placed a word in that don't get the opportunity to do it in their churches. So in obedience to God, I feel like he has really blessed this platform, and I just thank God for that. So I'm going to close out the broadcast. I just thank Psalmist Samuel. Samuel is from Palm Beach, California, and he owns a spa there, and I visited there, and I had the best massage, me and my girlfriend, for an hour, or it was probably more than an hour, and just blessed. So I want to thank you, Psalmist Samuel, for the ministry that God has given you and that you have shared with us tonight and many nights. So I'm going to say this again. Only what you do for Christ will last. Do it for your friend. Do it for your pastor. Do it for anybody else, and it's going to burn up in the fire. Do it to impress somebody. Do it as influence. Do it any other way. It's going to burn up in the fire. Only what you do for Christ will last. And just remember, before you do anything, make sure that you're doing right in his sight. God bless you. I'm Evangelist Linda Cazares. I thank you for being listening on the broadcast tonight. Whatever time zone you're in, morning, noon, or night, you're welcome to listen at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. I'm going to close out with this song called the Ruach HaKodesh. God bless you. Longing just to hear from you.
someone who can take us higher, help us.